Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously updated HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and through our links to Boston, Massachusetts, and Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, NMLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our very skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee. Rates are at historic lows. It's a good time to check it out and ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's very competitive world, when it comes to listings, you'll want to make sure that if you find a house that you like and there's multiple offers, that yours is as good as anybody's. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you've got a mortgage commitment before you go into that house, unless, of course, you already have, into that offer situation, I should say, unless you already have cash. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information on any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, and on all the markets we serve, including way out to Phoenix, Arizona. But here locally, what you want to do is dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. And that's a very unique service, 631-4800. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. Go Bills. We got a week off. Hopefully they'll be rested up and can take on their next opponent and lead themselves on to victory and lead us as well. We are broadcast live here at WBEN 930 AM, also on 98.5 HD3. And for those of you who'd like to participate in today's show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930, and that's either a phone call or a text. And if you are long distance, it's 1-800-616-9236. And if you're mobile, it's *930. Those are all free calls, of course. We have a very special show for you today. Live remote, protecting our social distance rules, is Mark Poloncaris. Mr. Poloncaris, of course, is the executive of the County of Erie. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Peter. It's been a while, but it's good to be back on.
It's good to have you back on. Last time you were just about to go into an election, and congratulations on your last election in 2019.
Thank you, and it seems like that was 10 years ago after everything we've dealt with this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you having fun yet?
Fun is not the appropriate word, but it is part of the role of being the executive of a community our size, and I don't think anybody, when we were talking about and running for office last year, was even considering a global pandemic as an issue that we'd be dealing with in the next term. But here we are, and we're working to protect the general public.
And I know that's on everybody's mind. All you have to do is turn on any television station, any news channel, pick up any newspaper. That's all there is. But our show is about housing and helping people to protect and enhance their investment in real estate. But, of course, this is having an effect. Interestingly, though, Mr. Bolenkars, one of the things that we're finding, we found since we were able to reopen in early June, is that the demand for our product is different than the demand for, say, going out for dinner or a hotel room. If you can't buy a house because you don't want to go virtual, which we had to do for most of March, April, and May, if you don't want to go virtual, you just wait, and then you come into the market in June, July, August, et cetera. And what we saw was that while business was way down in April and down a lot in May, it came roaring back in June, July, August, September, October, and right to this day. Buyer demand is exceptionally high here in Western New York, which we're very grateful for. But it's a different kind of demand. In other words, if I want to go out for dinner, if I decide not to go out for dinner, I can't go out to dinner because the restaurant's closed. That opportunity is lost forever for that merchant. They're never going to be able to sell me dinner that night again, or a hotel room, for example. But they can just wait to buy a house, which is, it's very good for us, but it's not so good for a lot of other merchants in our community. So as you look at this situation that we're in right now, one of the things that they don't talk about, and I wonder if you know the answer to this, the rates that we're seeing right now, and it's continuing to be, you know, abnormally and unpleasantly high in terms of the rate of infection based on testing. Is that a percentage of the tests that are given that day, or is it a weekly average? How do they actually determine that 5 point something, whatever it might be?
Well, it is the number of reports you receive in a 24-hour period, basically from midnight to 11:59 p.m. So when you see, if you follow my social media or you see in regular media that I've reported that there were 500 new cases with an average positivity rate of 7.0, that means for the day before, we would have received a certain number of cases, and of those, we would have had 500 positives. They're all new cases. These are not an individual who previously tested positive and then got retested and tested positive again. So these are all new cases. So we take out all the duplicative cases, so to speak. We take out the individuals who may have been tested in Erie County but live in Niagara County. And we just announce the numbers as it pertains to brand new cases. And then when we do, we know that every day it can wildly change. It seems to have been pretty static lately, but in times past, you could see an infection rate of 1.5, and then it would go up to 3.5 the next day, and it would go down to 1.8. So we also look at seven-day rolling averages, because we think that's a better analysis of what's really going on, is by looking at it on an average over a seven-day period. So, for example, the most recent day's data we have is there were 6,937 tests reported on November 19th. Of those, we had 489 new cases. So these are not duplicative cases, and these are only Erie County residents. So we clear out anybody who's a Niagara or Chautauqua County resident. The daily positivity rate was 7.0, which just happened to be exactly the same as the seven-day positivity rate, which is 7.0, which means for the week before, the average daily rate was 7% of all tests that we received tested positive. And the problem is you want to try to keep that positivity rate. The federal government says anything above 5 is bad. We really were trying to keep it below 2.5, and we were for the longest time. Unfortunately, it just grew at an exponential rate. Starting the week of Halloween, we really started to see big numbers the week of Halloween, and for a while there it was doubling. We seem to have leveled off a little bit. We're not seeing the doubling. If we had seen the doubling in this most recent period, this past week, like we had the previous weeks, we would be in a really bad situation right now. So I do think people are heeding the warnings. We're still seeing some significant spread of COVID-19 in their community. At least it looks like the doubling on the positivity rate has slowed down, though the case numbers are still very high.
So is it how easy is it right now to get a test? My understanding is that doctors are recommending you not get a test unless there's unless you have symptoms. Is that still the case, or can people just drive up and get tests anywhere? I mean, where they're obviously given.
There's dozens of locations across the county where you can get a test, and we actually have a map on our Erie.gov website. So if you go to Erie.gov, and you'll find information on COVID-19 there, our coronavirus page. If you click on the coronavirus page, you can find a interactive map where you basically can see where the closest location to have a test is. Due to the county's increased numbers, we decided for the short term that the county clinics, which do about 1,500 tests a week out of the 35,000 that are done in our community, we've limited the county clinics to those who are symptomatic, who have symptoms of COVID-19, which also are very similar to the symptoms of a common cold, as well as the flu, for those who are close contacts of individuals who tested positive, because we want to ensure if you were a close contact, you're not continuing to go out in the community and potentially spread coronavirus. But you could go to our COVID-19 page at Erie.gov, and you can find all kinds of information on testing. Actually, it's one of the first things when you go to the page is testing. And then there's all kinds of information on the testing sites, our interactive map that allows you to find where there is testing. You can also, the New York State has a site locally. If you are symptomatic or you are a close contact of an individual who has COVID-19, you can call the county at 858-2929 to schedule an appointment. Once again, that number is 858-2929. There's a tremendous demand for appointments right now. We're trying to get them done as quickly as possible. We do COVID testing Monday through Friday, and then we have special tests for on Saturdays for particular subsets of the population. Like if we think that there's a high rate in a particular zip code, we'll do a special test in that zip code. But if you call 858-2929, you are symptomatic or a close contact of a positive patient, we will try to get you in as quickly as possible.
Well, that's very important to know. You mentioned the uptick beginning around Halloween. That also corresponds with, obviously, change in the weather. How much does that correlate in your mind, Mark? Is it a matter of, I mean, everybody warned that once the cold weather set in, we'd be inside more, and therefore there'd be more likely that because we're in confined spaces that there'd be greater spread. Is that a direct correlation in your mind, or is there something that we're doing here in Erie County or anywhere else, I guess, that has been cold that makes it more problematic for us?
Well, it has had an impact. Because what we're seeing is if people may have done a gathering outside. They would have gone to a park. They may have hung out with their friends in the driveway, had a couple beers. But now people are going inside and doing the same type of gathering. Well, now you're in a smaller enclosed area where you might not have just air circulation. And we did see from our reports from the contact tracers that there were quite a number of individuals who, when they described where they were in the prior week to 10 days and may have contracted coronavirus, they may have been in an adult Halloween party. We actually did, and we have a number of cases of individuals who were congregating with others indoors watching the Bills games on the weekend, which is not a big surprise because 75-80% of all televisions in Western New York during a Sunday football game are turned to the Bills games. But if you have 10 people in a room, the chance of catching coronavirus is much greater indoors than if you had 10 people sitting around a TV set outdoors. So what we have seen is with the turn in the cold temperature, and if you remember, there was the one game in which it was horrible weather here. I mean, it was terrible weather, and the Bills were on the road, and we were all commenting about how great it is the Bills are on the road. Well, everybody was inside watching the football game because it was bad weather here, and we do have many cases that we can directly attribute to public or what would normally, if they were outdoors, maybe they wouldn't have caught it. But because they were gathering with other individuals indoors, especially individuals that they had not been around because they don't live with them, we receive contraction of coronavirus. And the interesting thing is you can then follow the cases. If you do a case contact through case tracing, contact tracing and you talk to other individuals, inevitably within a week to two period, you often find that other individuals who are in that room contract the coronavirus. So that's why we want to do testing on close contacts of individuals who were turned positive, because inevitably those individuals turn positive too. So yes, being indoors when it's gotten colder has had an impact in driving up the caseload.
The last 2 weeks have been particularly impactful in a very positive direction and also in negative direction. In the positive direction, we've seen two vaccines that have been tested and proven to be more than 95% effective, which is incredible given the time it's taken between the appearance of this virus and the actual vaccine that we hope will help eradicate the virus in our population. We also have seen advances in therapeutics, which are critically important. And just yesterday or the day before, Pfizer applied to the FDA to have their vaccine fast-track approved so that it could actually go into the general population. When you see something like that happen, and then you see that the spike in cases, as you described, do you see, does it give you like a anxiety or something, Mark, that maybe we should just wait till this happens before we shut the place down? Is there any feeling like that, or is it just a matter of we've just got to act now?
Well, Pete, it is a really good question, because if talking about releasing the vaccines in 2 weeks, maybe things would be a little different. But based on the information that I've received from the federal government, and I sit as a member of the executive committee of the National Association of Counties and receive detailed reports from our representatives in D.C. that the earliest it looks like we're going to actually have mass vaccines available for the general public is February. And the problem is, here we are, it's November 21st, and so we have the rest of November, December, and January. And it's going to get colder. More people, everyone's going to be indoors. There's going to be more spread of the coronavirus. And there are, in the United States alone, there's, I think it was nearly 2,000 people died yesterday or the day before from the coronavirus. So we have to take proactive measures now to save as many lives as possible until the vaccines are available. I mean, if the FDA approves it, if Dr. Fauci says this is a good vaccine, and it certainly seems like they are based on the reports I've seen, the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, I'll be there lining up with everyone else to get the vaccine. If the FDA approves it, I trust it, I will get that vaccine. The problem is it's not going to be available for a few more months. And in the meantime, if we do not control the spread, we will lose hundreds of more people in our region, and there'll be tens of thousands of more people. They're even saying it could be, based on the rate of infection and the death rate going up recently, it could be more than 100,000 more Americans die by the time the vaccine is available. So it's not so much an opportunity to wait a week or two and then the vaccines are here, because it's still some time, and the earliest they say it'll be available is February. We have to act now to protect as many lives now so we can keep as many people alive, so when the vaccine's here, they can get vaccinated then.
I'm sure you've looked at the history, as many people have, going back to the Spanish, the Spanish flu 100 years ago. What eventually stopped that was what everyone calls herd immunity, and that, as well as basic, the same kind of thing we're talking about here in terms of masks, hygiene, sanitation, social distance. That was known then, and obviously it's core to the stopping of the spread today. But what really has happened, one of the things that interests me, and I like your comment on this, a week ago Wednesday in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article that said, and this is something that's not just by this particular author, but was written about in Europe as well, that the number of cases, that the number of incidences of infection is actually dramatically higher than what we're seeing, because people are asymptomatic. They don't, you know, they don't feel sick, so they don't do anything about it. They go about their normal life. And the fact of, the fact that they cite is that there may be as many as 10 times as many people that have actually been infected than actually are reported or found out through the test. Would it be appropriate then, in your mind, if that were the case, Mark, would it be appropriate then, before somebody gets a vaccine, to have them have an antibody test to see if they've been exposed and have actually had the virus? Their body has actually built the defense itself?
We offer free antibody testing in Erie County. We actually have two different types of tests. The diagnostic test to determine if you have COVID-19 in you at that moment, or antibody testing, which proves if you had you may have had COVID-19 in the past. It is a blood-drawn test, but it is available free. We have a clinic on Tuesday, the 24th, at the Hamburg Senior Center. People can sign up and register actually online at our COVID-19 website. So if you just go to erie.gov, click on COVID-19 and the testing site, or the testing link, and you could actually register for the antibody test. We think it's important that people get the antibody test. I had the antibody test earlier this year, and it came back negative, which means I did not have any antibodies, so I had not been exposed in all likelihood. I have had the PCR test. I usually get it done once every week, once every 10 days, just because I've been around so many people, and it's always come back negative. But if you are questioning, were you potentially exposed in the past? Yes, you can get the antibody test through Erie County for free. It is helpful, because then if we find out that an individual has antibodies, we will talk to them and try to determine, are you aware of having been in contact with anybody who had COVID-19? How long ago? And then one of the things that's a little discouraging is they're starting to see, because it's almost a year now since the first cases, at least in China, they're starting to see that the individuals who had large antibodies a number of months ago, their antibodies are starting to reduce. Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility that you don't develop permanent immunity. You might have immunity for a certain period of time, but once you have COVID-19, does not prevent you from potentially having COVID-19 in, let's say, the following year. As we all know, we get our flu shot annually. It's not a permanent flu shot. It's based on what they think the flu strains will be for the upcoming year. I think everyone's big fear, especially in the scientific community, is that COVID-19 will be like the flu, in which it potentially could mutate on an annual basis, and therefore we have to have annually vaccines. But if you are interested in finding out, maybe I was exposed to COVID-19 and had it and didn't know because I was asymptomatic, Erie County offers free antibody testing. You can register online, and if you find out that you're positive, then we want to talk to you because we want to try to determine when you may have had it and who you may have exposed or who exposed you. And I think it helps us in the long run trying to track the cases and determine what's happening in our greater community.
But just going back to my question, I appreciate all that, and I agree 100% on everything you said there. But if we're going to be only able to vaccinate so many people each year, or each month, or whatever what the period of time is, would it make sense, though, before you got a vaccine? I know when the vaccine's available, I'm going to get an antibody test first, because I think it would save the waste of the vaccine if I already have the antibodies in me. Would you agree with that, or do you think we should just prioritize the distribution of the vaccine based upon our vulnerable categories of the population?
Well, I do know the plan is to distribute based on vulnerable populations first. So the first ones that would get it would be healthcare professionals. And then those in a vulnerable setting, generally seniors of a particular age, though just being older doesn't mean you can't get sick or die from it. Unfortunately, in the last couple of weeks, we had somebody under the age of 40 die from COVID-19 in Erie County and a couple 50-year-olds. Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest is that when the vaccine comes out, it's not going to be immediately available. Even if it comes to Erie County and we have a certain number of doses, it's not going to be immediately available just for the general public to walk in and get a vaccine. It's first going to go to healthcare professionals, EMTs, those on the front lines of responding to COVID-19. It's then going to be distributed out to vulnerable populations before it finally is distributed out to the general public.
Mark, we have to go to a break right now. Hold that thought. We'll be right back after these very important messages from our house to yours.
the WBEN Newsroom, I'm Brendan Keeney, and here's what's happening. The Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation announcing all winter activities, including ice skating, have been canceled because of COVID-19 concerns. Canalside and Outer Harbor themselves will remain open to the public, with facial coverings and social distancing required. U.S.-Canada border closure has been officially extended until December 21st, but there's growing concern that the border won't be reopened for several more months. Immigration attorney Jamie Fiegel believes the border will be closed until one of two things occur: when there's strong evidence of an effective vaccine that's distributed to a majority of people, or there's a return to warmer weather. Erie County Legislator Joe Lurigo has drafted a letter to County Executive Mark Poloncarz saying the county should be doing more to help local districts fund the now mandated COVID tests for their in-person populations. Read more on our website. I'm Brendan Keeney, News Radio 930 WBEN and WBEN.com. Follow us on Twitter at News Radio 930.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
The West End, Buffalo's premier luxury waterfront development, is now open for private tours. Starting at $850,000, each townhome unit features three bedrooms, three and a half bathrooms, high-end finishes, multiple balconies, hardwood floors, soaring ceilings, two-car attached garage, and much more. With only 20 units being built, now is the time to make your appointment to view the model unit from this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate. To schedule a viewing, call exclusive listing agent Deacon Tasker with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787 or visit westinbuffalo.com.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the always updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage is the home of the pre-purchase commitment and the Second Look program, one of our favorite programs, because often you're going to receive a barrage of solicitations from various mortgage companies from all over the country and the world, and they're going to promise this and promise that, and you might respond. And you might even get a pre-approval or something from them, but you want to make sure that you're getting the very best deal possible. We'll make sure of that for you by giving you a Second Look, 633-3700. And if we can't beat the rate and terms of that deal, we're going to give you a gift certificate. So call right away, 633-3700. If you've already received some pre-approval from some other lender, we'll be happy to make sure it's the best deal for you. We have a very special show for you today. Live remote from his home, I believe, is County Executive Mark Poloncarz. Welcome back, Mark. And I cut you off before the break, and if you saw the board here in the studio, it's lit up big time, and there's all kinds of texts coming in. But there's something happening out in Orchard Park. Apparently, there's been a meeting at a gym. The sheriffs and the health department showed up because too many people were there. The crowd was irate, and the officials eventually left. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I got copies of the videos that were sent out. I know that there was a planned gathering at a location, and then based on our health department rules, and we are supposed to go out because it was a mass gathering, and I believe they went out with sheriff's deputies to let them know that that would be in violation of the rules. I haven't gotten a full report on it yet. I'm sure I'll learn more about it over the next 24 hours. I'm actually in my office. I'm downtown. There's still people, maybe the weekend, but there's a good amount of people working in the Rath building and at our health department sites. We're working every day as long as we get through the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know the people in the health department are working as very hard as possible to save as many lives as possible. Actually, I was just flipping while we were in the commercial break through the Buffalo News and reading a story of the unfortunate death of the David Oliveri, a 50-year-old math teacher from Lackawanna who died after contracting COVID-19. I mean, this is real, and these are the real stories about people who unfortunately we're losing in our community due to this terrible disease, and that's why our health department is out there enforcing the rules.
You know, between shutdowns, between the end of May and now, did you see many violations, Mr. Poloncarz, and could you point to a cause and effect, particularly in schools, restaurants, fitness and health facilities, even the YMCA, hair salons, houses of worship, libraries? Did you see, or could we document that there were that the, in those places there were violations and therefore an excessive spread? Or are those places cited because people congregate there?
Both. because of the rules with regards to congregation, if the rule was you couldn't have more than 25 in a location, and our health department was there and they found out that they had 50, or for like restaurants they had to be at 50%, and they walked in there and they found that the restaurant was at 100%, they would have technically violated the rules. Our number one first action was never to fine someone. It was to give them a warning, to let them know this is what the rule is. You have to follow it, especially those that are in the food service industry where they get their license to perform their food service through the Department of Health. And so we would give them a warning. We wouldn't just fine them unless there was something absolutely egregious. Last night, I don't have the full details of it, but I'll learn more about it. But if it had violated the rules, then technically they would be warned, and if they refuse to change, then they could theoretically be cited. We have seen various issues associated with restaurants, some barber shops, some gyms. It's not to say that every gym was a location where COVID-19 may have been, but we are aware of it in our region, and we did throughout the summer send our health department inspectors out along with other inspectors to ensure that the rules were being followed, and we will continue to do that because we have an obligation to do that and to follow the rules and the law. I know people think, oh, they're just trying to get out there. This is a power grab. Nobody enjoys this. We talked about it earlier about how in last year's election, no one was thinking about a pandemic. This was the year we were going to roll out some new initiatives, including on high-speed internet. So all areas of the county, we had access to high-speed internet. Everything's been thrown to the side in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. We've lost, on last count, I think it's 762 Erie County residents as a result of COVID-19. Yes, the average age of them is a little older, but if it's your father that died, if it was your grandfather or your brother or sister, you're feeling the pain this Thanksgiving knowing that there's going to be an empty seat at the table. And not everybody who passed from COVID-19 was elderly. There are quite a number of individuals in our community who are younger. So I know not everyone's happy with the enforcement of the rules, but we're doing this to protect the general public and to prevent the further spread of the coronavirus so that someone else doesn't have to wonder, well, why did they go to that meeting? Why did they go to that mass gathering, caught the coronavirus? Maybe they survived, but they passed it on to a family member who then died. And unfortunately, we have too many cases of that across Erie County.
Between the first, a big difference between this shutdown and the previous one was the CARES Act. In other words, many businesses were able to shut down and stay alive because they received PPP funds and other assistance. We don't have that today. So in your mind, has science developed to condition our response in the meantime? In other words, are there things that we can specifically point to, key data points, that make this a different kind of shutdown than the last one?
Well, we are doing all and to avoid the complete shutdown like in the spring. And one of the reasons why we're seeing the rapid spread of the coronavirus in our community is because we have not completely shut down. I mean, we all know the stories of individuals who basically said they didn't leave their house for 2 months. They were having food delivered. So we're not in that situation today. Most businesses are still open. There are some businesses that have been closed because Erie County has the vast majority of it in the orange zone, in the cluster program that the state put in place. And those are businesses where there's usually very close contact or a higher risk of a spread of coronavirus. But most other businesses are open. Real estate industry is still open. You can do house showings. You can more than 10 people in a house at any one time, because of the limitation on the 10-person gathering, but you can still do house openings, do closings. Most businesses are open. We're trying to avoid the situation like we had in the spring where we have everything. And that's kind of that red zone. It's not we're doing all that we can to avoid the red zone because then all non-essential businesses must close. And I think we all agree that would be horrible for the economy. Now, Erie County, very soon, with our partner 43 North, will be announcing the first round of grant recipients from our program, in which we are offering up to a few thousand dollars for small businesses. So we had a huge response. We had thousands and thousands of small businesses respond to our grant program, and even sole proprietors could apply for it. And we're going to be announcing very soon the first recipients of these grants, which we hopefully will help many of these businesses get through this very difficult time. So I would just say to all of those who may have applied through the 43 North for this grant program, stay tuned, because we're going to be announcing the first set of recipients in the next week.
Well, I'm sure we'll be very anxious to hear how that works out. The governor in the last week has said that we weren't fearful enough here in Western New York, and as a result, we, I guess, got cocky or something. I'm not sure what exactly he was driving at there. I know, for example, that everywhere I went, everywhere I've gone, really, since we've reopened, has had protective information all around. You couldn't go into a spot without a mask anywhere that I ever went, really, since everything kind of reopened in early June. I wonder what led him to think that, because I know that I don't think fear is a great motivator, and I certainly don't think, well, it probably is a great motivator, but I don't think we're a fearful society, I guess is what I'm saying. I think people follow the rules. I didn't see a lot of people flaunting things. We had one person in our whole company of almost 2,000 people that kind of flaunted wearing a mask, and we sent him home. But the fact of life is that we've had very, very, I think, very good acceptance here in Western New York. How do you think about that, Mark, in terms of the general acceptance of the rules of the game?
Well, I think the vast majority of the people are following. I agree with you. But there is a very vocal minority that are not. And that's one of the reasons why we're still citing businesses when we go out with our inspectors. We are finding them that are there. You walk into a restaurant and half the patrons have masks on when all of them should have masks on unless they're sitting at the table and eating, or they're over their capacity. We've had issues just recently. I know we've gone and done a violation, or we've issued, if not violations, warnings to a few restaurants where the patrons were fine, but then you go back into the kitchen and none of the staff in the kitchen are wearing masks. I think the governor, when he made his statement, I agree, it was not an eloquent statement. I also believe, having had talked to him earlier that day for 45 minutes, that he was also talking about the issues associated with how we did not see what had occurred downstate in New York City and Long Island. And none of us want to go through that. I mean, they were storing bodies in refrigerated trucks because they didn't have enough room to store them. Captain Sean Lavin of the local National Guard works for Erie County as the head of our Veterans Service Office, but he was the one that was in charge of the platoon that would go down and collect the bodies in homes, because there were too many bodies or people dying on a daily basis for the medical examiner's office down in New York City to collect the bodies. We never went through that. So I think he was referring to that. He just said it in a way that was a sledgehammer instead of as what we try to do, which is to warn people. We are trying to avoid that. And if you talk to anybody you know who was from New York City or Long Island during that period, I mean, they'll all say it was horrible. It was horrible, and we'd never wish that on our worst enemy. So, the governor, sometimes he'll use a sledgehammer when, of course, it would be better if you had a velvet glove on. But I get the feeling he had, which is I don't want to see happen in Western New York what happened in New York City, because we don't wish that on anyone. And to tell you the truth, while the vast majority of people are following the rules, we still have a vocal minority that are not.
We have to go to a break right now. Mr. Paul and Cars will be right back with more from our house tours after these very important messages.
The West End, Buffalo's premier luxury waterfront development, is now open for private tours. Starting at $850,000, each townhome unit features 3 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, high-end finishes, multiple balconies, hardwood floors, soaring ceilings, 2-car attached garage, and much more. With only 20 units being built, now is the time to make your appointment to view the model unit from this landmark development from Simonelli Real Estate. To schedule a viewing, call exclusive listing agent Deacon Tasker with Hunt Real Estate at 280-7787 or visit westinbuffalo.com.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker. NMLS 37405. New York Department of Financial Services and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously updated huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment, the second program, and the buy the before and live the after program. Call them today, 633-3700. We have a very special show for you ongoing right now with Mr. Mark Poloncarz, the executive of the County of Erie. We've been talking about, obviously, the issue of the day, which is affecting all of us, which is the coronavirus 19 issue. And just before the break, we were talking about the governor, and I guess the question I have for you, I think the whole community bristled when we heard what the governor said, and I understand where he was coming from. We weren't in New York City when all the really horrible stuff was going on. So we really don't have any kind of firsthand experience, but I have family in that area, and I could hear and see what was going on through them, and it wasn't fun, and we didn't want that to happen here. But that didn't mean that we just didn't have fear. And he also commented that people wear a mask out of fear. I don't wear a mask out of fear, and I'm sure you don't. I think we do that to protect others around us, and hopefully they're doing the same thing. And if it in fact does work, that's a good thing. But it's no reason to be afraid. I think it's becoming almost a fashion statement. So I just think that was unwarranted. But I don't want to beat up on him, and I don't really even want to pursue that at all. But right now, I think we are faced with a bunch of very, very difficult situations that are the result of this creation of the orange and red and yellow environment that we find ourselves in Erie County. We're mostly orange and part yellow right now. And the big deal, I think, that I'm hearing from people, and I would like your comment on this, is the issue of risk versus reward. We all take a risk every day by getting in our car, walking around, eating food, whatever it is. We're all taking risks. And the reward that we're told is that if we do all these things, then the rates will go down and we can kind of go back to something resembling normal. But there's no real upside. In other words, would it be reasonable, and this was suggested by a caller to one of the talk shows a couple weeks ago, would it be reasonable to say to the people of Erie County or any place that if you do these things and if we bring the rate down, you know, we're going to knock off a quarter point of sales tax or something that would both spur business and as well as tell people there's something good at the end of the line here besides just not getting sick?
Well, the problem that we've dealt with, especially as it pertains to COVID-19, is not just, of course, the direct public health aspect of it, but the financial impact. Because Erie County as an organization has been hurt as well. The layoff individuals due to the reduction in revenue that we receive in sales tax. I would love to be able to announce that we're reducing the sales tax by 0.25% as an inducement, but we would lose more than $100 million of revenue, and we share that also with the school districts, the towns, the cities, and villages. So that would actually put all of those organizations in a worse financial hole. So we're not going to be able to reduce the sales tax, especially when we are already seeing reduced numbers to begin with. But what our goal is if we can get through this, with the least amount of casualties possible, then what we can do is say we'll start reopening again. We're in the orange zone for the vast majority of Erie County. The rest of it's in the yellow, and there's some yellow in Niagara County. And the argument is the yellow and orange are warning zones. Yellow, of course, yield, be careful. Orange, much more concern. Red is stop. We're trying to avoid the stop. We're trying to avoid the stoppage of basically our economy by having to shut it down again. So by doing this cluster approach with the different colors and the different types of restrictions in each, it's basically telling the folks we have an opportunity to kind of go back to normal if we can keep the numbers down. And this is all under the premise of let's do our best possible as a region to save as many lives, to prevent further infections of the coronavirus, so that we can get to a point, whether it's February or March of next year, when which they start distributing the vaccine. Because once we have the vaccine, then, and we start getting it out to the vast majority of the population, then we can kind of go back to where we were normally without any restrictions. I just look at this year with everything that's gone on, and it was a crazy, hectic year. We all know, not even just associated with the pandemic. But we're gonna talk about this year for the rest of our lives. The goal is to get as many people through this year, 2020, and early 2021, so that 20 to 30 years from now, talk about this, about how horrible it was, and how we came together to save as many lives so that our community became a stronger community because we were more resilient and we worked together to get it through. What I'm hoping is that continues, and that should be kind of the incentive. If we work together to help our fellow neighbor, and you said it, you wear the mask to protect others, not just yourself. It's not out of fear. I wear my mask not out of fear, but to protect myself, but also to protect others just in case I have it. So if we can do this together, the faster we'll get to the point where we can reopen everything and be back to normal and then be talking about 2020 and letting the people who never experienced it know what our community did to come together to get through it and with the least amount of casualties possible.
Part of coming together, obviously, is taking care of our children. And this, with the schools closed and with child care being an enormous issue, we've got a real hole in our community right now that is very, very difficult to fill. A single parent, or even where there's two parents in a household and both are working, what happens with those children? Would there be a means by which that you could see schools reopening, for example, if every student was tested before they came into the school?
Yes, that can happen, and the school districts can test themselves out. But here's the kind of the predicament we're in, and this is, I've had conversations with state officials on this, so this is not going to come as any surprise to them. When they announced the restrictions for schools as part of the cluster zones, they really thought it would be micro clusters. They figured it would be like a neighborhood, let's say Eggertsville and Amherst. Okay, we'll shut down Eggertsville and Amherst and the school district that I think, which is Amherst Central, but we'll test our way out of it. They never anticipated that a region the size of ours would have so many cases so quickly. So the rules they put in place with regards to testing out sound great. You test every student, you test every staff member. Well, on average, our county is doing 30 to, and I'm not talking about the county, I should say, on average, all tests in Erie County, for the private sector and the public sector, they're doing 30,000 to 35,000 tests a week. Still, it's a lot of tests, but it's a big amount. If you do not include the city of Buffalo School District, so you do not include city because it's virtual, we would have to test 90,000 students a week under the state protocol. It's just not feasible. We don't have, as a region, the testing capability to do that when we're testing 35,000 on a week in all the different testing clinics. So we're working with the state. I'm talking with the state. I'm trying to get them to change the rules. In the meantime, I've had conversations with those associated with the school districts. They understand the county is incapable of testing 90,000, or let's even go down and say it's 60,000. That's still basically double the total amount of tests that are being performed by all the testing clinics, not just the county, but all the private sector, all the state, and anyone else that's out there. And so I'm trying to get them to realize we can't cannot test our way out of this as a region because there's so many tests that need to be performed. But hopefully they can come up with an alternative that will allow schools to reopen. I will make a plug for our virtual learning centers. If there are two parents, they have to work. The county did set aside millions of dollars to help set up virtual learning centers. Basically, it's daycare for younger children, but there's somebody there that's monitoring them and ensuring that they're attending their virtual classes. We know it's not optimal, but we want to give parents an opportunity to put their child in a virtual learning center. It's held up to high, strict standards with regards to protecting against COVID-19 transmission, and it does allow parents an opportunity to put their child in a safe environment where they can still learn when the parents have to work. And most of all, and best of all, it's available for every school district.
We've only got a few minutes left here, Mark, and I guess one of the things that always concerns me in my business is that it's impossible for people to buy a home if they don't have a job, pretty much, unless they are lucky enough to have inherited a lot of money. But the fact of the matter is most people aren't that lucky, and they rely on their job and their, quote, qualification to be able to afford a mortgage and then buy a home. Without a job, that's not possible. And when I see people going through shutting down their business and laying people off and our unemployment rate the way it is in Erie County now, which is roughly double where it was prior to all this, it gives me pause because I'm trying to figure out how we get back to where we were. There's ads on television saying that we're coming back and all that stuff. But how do we get there? Chart a path for us, if you can, in the last couple of minutes here, how we got from where we are now to back to a point where our unemployment rate is half of where it is right now. People are back working. Kids are back in school. And we've got a future again, as opposed we can go to Bills games, things like that. How do we get from here to there?
Well, I think the best way, I just saw a statement from a representative of the Federal Reserve Bank, which was it's the best way to get to the strong economy is to prevent the further spread of the coronavirus so that we're more further shutdowns. So if we can find a way through the actions that we're taking to limit the further spread, reduce our contraction rate and the positivity rate, that will allow us to reopen more as we go along and hopefully get back to normalcy. I remember that I think after I was elected county executive, I came on your show, and it was always about the economy because that's what was the focus of my administration. Remember, I wanted to strengthen our economy. Our unemployment rate when I took office was basically 9%. Before the pandemic, it had been the strongest economy we've seen in decades. It was less than 1%. It was 3.5%. I want to get back down to that point. It's not going to happen overnight. The county will be offering programs. We continue to offer programs through the ECIDA as well as Erie County to help businesses that are in need. I'm going to be advocating very vigorously with the Biden administration for a new round of PPP. I believe that will be coming. The problem is it's probably not going to happen until they take office January 20th and it's approved in February or March. So we're continuing to try to provide as much assistance as we can through the county to local governments. I should say we have done local governments for local businesses because we want to save as many of them so that we can rebuild our economy and make it stronger than it was.
I certainly hope you're successful, and I hope our community can provide the kind of data that will keep us from going into that red zone, because I think that would be a disaster, frankly, for all of us. And I certainly hope that that doesn't happen. I certainly hope we can open institutions like the YMCA again, open skating downtown again, things that bring people together, because of all the terrible things about this, that's the most terrible. People just can't be together, and you can Zoom till you're ill, and you're still, it's nothing like being with other people. And that's what I think our society thrives on. Mark Poloncarz, executive of the County of Erie, thank you very much for being with us today. Appreciate your candor.
Be safe and well.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.